This is an Equity Mates Media podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, it is Bryce and Ren here, co-founders of Equity Mates Media, and we're here to announce our IPO.
That's right, Equity Mates' initial party offering is here. FinFest is coming.
We're calling all bulls, bears and party animals. The market's closed, the bar is open, and we're trading ideas at Australia's biggest investing festival.
With expert speakers, special guests, DJs and booze, it's an inspiring and empowering event for investors of any level of experience.
So save the date, 15th of October 2022. Head to equitymates.com/finfest to register your interest today.
Equity Mates FinFest is powered by Stake.
You're listening to Get Started Investing, a production of Equity Mates Media. This series is everything you need to get started on your investing journey.
You don't need a lot of brains in this business. Investing in yourself is the best thing you can do. Anything that improves your own
time. Now you can get rich very young just by having an idea.
I mean, I can buy anything I want, basically, but I can't buy time.
Welcome to Get Started Investing. In this podcast, we cover all the basics you need to start your investing journey. Are you joining us for the very first time? Is this the start of your investing journey? Well, before you dive into this episode with us, our feed is designed to go from the very beginning. So we strongly recommend that you scroll up and start at episode one. But of course, if you are feeling brave and want to just dive in, don't let us stop you. Here at GSI, we unpack all the jargon and the confusing bits. We hear your investing stories with the goal of making investing less intimidating. And we want to have a good time along the way. My name is Bryce. And as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Great to be with you for another episode. I should say, in the intro, in a very long intro, you say scroll back to the start. I think this episode in particular will be relevant for people who are at the very beginning of their investing journey, because we've been speaking to a number of beginner investors recently, those that are just getting started or maybe haven't even got started yet but want to. And it got us thinking about what we were like when we were beginner investors.
Yeah, well, in the grand scheme of things, that wasn't too long ago.
Well, for me, it wasn't too long ago. I'm still in my 20s and I started investing in my 20s. So you do the maths. For you, I mean,
half my life. You
started investing when you were what, six?
No, 12. No, a bit older. Yeah, 12 or 15 or something.
But
like
for this episode, we're going to say we've called it three things we wish we knew when we were getting started. Yeah. We're not going to make you put yourself in the mind of 12-year-old Bryce Lesky.
No.
That's probably a dangerous place to be. But we're going to think about, you know, when we were living together in Canberra, when I was learning about investing, when we were both trying to figure it out, what we wish we knew. And it's not going to be the generic stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we've done stuff like this before and it's the whole, it's easier than you think and all those ones.
You don't need
a lot of
ETFs
money.
ETFs exist, don't invest in Slater and Gordon and lose your money. Like, we've covered that.
We've covered that ground, So we've got three. They're going beyond the cliche ones. And there's nothing wrong with all of those examples that we gave. They are all things that we did wish we knew. So, Ren, before we crack into the three, there is some housekeeping and a reminder that there is plenty to listen to in the Equity Mates Media Network. We've got You're in Good Company, Comedian v Economist, Talk Money to Me, Crypto Curious, Equity Mates Investing Podcast, of course, and the late Meet Pay Love, and the latest show, The Dive, Ren.
That's it. Three times a week, we will be bringing you one big news story, one business news story, broken down, no jargon, well explained, with a bit of fun along the way. So head over to The Dive, head over to any of those shows. There's plenty of content coming out. But Bryce, let's get into this episode. What are the three things that we wish we knew?
The first one is that you don't have to pick a side. The second is the difference between right and wrong isn't the difference between making and losing money. Looking forward to unpacking this one. And the third is to invest. You don't have to be an investor.
Nice.
So some ones
that
we
have. And that's the episode. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. So let's start with the top one, Ren, and that is you don't have to pick a side.
If the media was to be believed,
yes,
investing is a very adversarial game.
Meaning?
Bull versus bear,
yeah.
Value versus growth, active v. passive, Bryce v. Wren, chess v. custodial, ethical v. non-ethical.
Yeah.
Do you believe in Bitcoin or not? Yeah. Is value investing dead or not? Everything is so binary in investing and everything is so adversarial. There's so much conflict. And it's like, as a young investor, I got swept up in that. And I think a lot of investors do. What of all of these debates, of all of these issues, I need to understand it and then I need to decide what side I'm on. And you don't.
No, you don't have to be a value or a growth investor. You can be both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to choose active or passive. You can take both.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we've spoken to plenty of experts along the way who have a bias towards one, but definitely encompass values and strategies from many of the different types of investing. And I think about one we spoke on Equity Mates a couple of weeks ago, and he was a value investor, but speaking about some of the growth stocks that we've all been investing in over the last 5 years. So trying to pigeonhole yourself into one or the other early on and trying to understand it, it's too overwhelming and unnecessary.
Yeah, the unnecessary point is the important one there, because it feels like a lot of these things are debates that you have to understand and get to the right answer to then really be an investor. And especially for me, thinking back to those early days when we were living in Canberra, value v. growth for me was one that I spent a lot of mental energy, looking back, unnecessary mental energy, trying to figure out which side of the debate was right. You'd be reading books about Warren Buffett's early days and, you know, value investing and trying to buy a stock for less than it was worth. And then you'd read about growth investors and, you know, you'd come across people that were early on tech and stuff like that. And you'd be like, oh, well, what's the next growth industry? And I remember at that time, we were then looking at, you know, like China. And,
yeah.
You know, the Blackmores and the A2 Milks were like these big growth stories in Australia. And, you know, there were these two conflicting philosophies. And I think I spent a lot of that time trying to figure out what was the right one and where I sat on it. And looking back, it's like there's merit to both and you don't have to figure out where you sit on all these debates, because a lot of these debates are kind of sideshows to what really matters.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to make cash. It doesn't matter how it's made, I think. Anyway, I completely agree. Early on, I was very influenced by Buffett. And then there was the Joel Greenblatt book that we read, and a bunch of other books that sort of try and talk you through their process, but there's so much more that goes into it than what they write in a book. And so even just doing a filter or a screen online and finding companies that do match a bunch of ratios, it's kind of like, then what?
So
you don't have to pick a side.
And I think, you know, today in our Facebook group, Chess v. Custodial gets a massive a lot of people expend a lot of energy having that argument in our Facebook group and beyond. That isn't what matters.
No.
Make a decision that's right for you and then move on and focus on what matters. You don't have to pick a side in every debate in finance.
Well, I guess quickly to close this one out, what if someone's sitting there feeling like they're in this moment right now and reading value versus growth and trying to understand which is best for them, what is the way out of this? What would, if we were to have our time again, how would we avoid this?
I think, and this is easy to say and hard to do, but it's like, think about what matters. All you are trying to do is make investments that will make you cash, as you eloquently said. There's clearly, like, you can look at professional investors and you can see that people have made money from both value and growth. And or you can look at the active investing v. passive investing debate and you can look at that and you see, well, people have made money in both ways. And so really, like, that's not a variable that will determine whether you make money or not.
Yeah. Agreed. I think it's just keep a very open mind and don't feel like you need to pigeonhole.
Yeah. And like it's easy for us to say with hindsight. I don't know if we would have got through to 21-year-old Bryson Alec, but
well, that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
We're trying to trying to help all of those out there. So the second one, Ren, is the difference between right and wrong isn't the difference between making and losing money. So let's unpack the first half. The difference between right and wrong in terms of what? A right and wrong investment thesis?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, is this going to be a good investment, or is this asset class going to do better than this one? Is property going to do better than stocks? Is bonds going to do better than gold? Or, you know, is a particular company going to do well?
Yeah.
When I started investing, it was like I thought I had to be right, and if I wasn't right, I would lose money.
Yes.
But what I've subsequently learned is that historically, and, you know, history isn't a guarantee of future, but historically, most investment assets have had a bias for going up.
Yes.
So you look at the property market, you look at the stock market, you look at the price of gold, you look at, like, just because of, you know, there's a bunch of reasons why, but, you know, the economy gets more productive, people have more money, inflation, like, markets, assets have a bias that trend upwards over time.
Yep.
So when you read about investors being right or wrong, that doesn't mean that they made or lose money.
Mm.
It generally means did they outperform the average or not?
Yeah.
And in the stock market, the average has been like 7 or 8% a year. For Australia's property market, the average has probably been like, I don't know, 30% a year
too
or
much.
Something.
Too much.
I guess what I've learned over time is that plenty of people that are wrong still make money. And they may not make as much money as they will. They don't make as much money as they would have made. They don't make as much money as the average person made. But a lot of times they make more money than they would have got from their 0.25% interest in their savings account.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've spoken to some of the guys from Magellan on Equity Mates Investing before, and they've been criticized a lot in the media for, I guess, being wrong on China, amongst a few things.
Yeah.
But them being wrong, they still earn like 9% returns a year.
Yeah.
That's being catastrophically wrong in the investing game.
So to give it a clear example, it's like you're saying, you know, if you were to choose and make a bet on Uber or Lyft being the number one passenger carrier or whatever they are, ride share, and you've taken the bet on Lyft, both could go up in price, but Lyft might not perform anywhere near as well as Uber and not perform as well as the market. You've still made money.
Yeah.
But it's...
tough example because both of those stocks are down a lot.
Yeah, they're both pumped. But you know what I mean. Like, yeah. You didn't choose the winning horse, but you haven't lost money on the Uber, on the Lyft investment.
Yeah.
Well, you have in reality.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
That's probably the second part of this, is that you definitely can lose money. Like Slater and Gordon, I was wrong and I lost all of my money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's not a black or white, as black or white as if you're wrong, you lose out.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
If you bought a house in the wrong suburb in Australia in the last 15 years, chances are that rising tide still lifted your boat, even though other boats were lifted on a tidal wave a lot more.
Mm.
So yeah, I think for me, it's been a big learning that just investment markets have a bias to trend upwards over time.
Mm.
And that's why passive investing works. That's why you can just index invest and it just ticks along in the background.
Yeah, one of my biggest sort of learnings from this was understanding the benchmark and that everything is measured against that market return, not to zero, as you said, and then feeling comfortable then that actually taking that market return and the benchmark is just absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly hard
to
outperform over a long period.
I think a simpler way to label this rule would have been the average isn't zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the average is still heading in the right direction.
Yeah. It's really good, the return, an average return.
Yeah.
over a long period of time.
They shouldn't call it the average return. I guess that's why they call it benchmark sometimes.
True, yeah.
Because average, it's like, especially in Australia, it's got like a negative connotation. It's like, I feel pretty average.
It's pretty average, yeah.
Yeah. The average in investing is like average.
And for those listening, Ren just put two thumbs up. All right. Well, before we jump into the final one, we're just going to take a very quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So, Ren, the final one is one that I think we've spoken about in some form or another plenty of times. But to invest, you don't have to be an investor.
Yes.
Yeah, how good. I remember speaking to one of my favorite guests we've ever had. And if you haven't listened, go over and check out both You're in Good Company, she was on You're in Good Company, and Equity Mates Investing Podcast, Emma Fisher.
Mm.
She works for Airlie Funds, and she made it very clear that you don't need a degree in finance. In fact, I'm pretty sure she said if she could tell her younger self something or advice to her younger self, it would be that you don't need a finance degree, something along those lines to be a successful investor.
There you go.
And I was just like, wow, well, if she can do it, so can we.
Yeah.
So what's your take on this one?
I'm just now thinking that we can achieve Emma Fisher levels of success.
Well, maybe.
Look, yeah. I think if you asked 20-year-old Bryson Wren what it took to be an investor, we probably would have started with, you know, Warren Buffett sitting in his room reading 500 pages a day. At the very least, we would have thought about some investment bankers in Sydney and chucked on some RM Williams and chinos and
that's what we wear.
Yeah. we're in finance. Well, we're not. We're finance adjacent.
We're peripherals.
Now. We're finance adjacent. But everyone has these ideas of what it takes to be an investor, both in terms of like. Mainly in terms of the work that you have to do. Mm. Like I have to read so much and I guess I have to subscribe to the AFR and I have to...
Get the calculator
Yeah, out. Yeah, yeah. And while we were at uni, the idea that we could have just put a little bit of money into the market and then gone on with our lives probably would have led to a even more fun uni experience.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. I would have cancelled the AFR subscription. Probably wouldn't have made...
You had one at uni.
Probably wouldn't have made the mistake and invested in Slater and Gordon.
True.
I don't know if we actually had one or is that Chrome plugin? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was going to say, because isn't it the most expensive paper in the world? It was the Chrome plugin.
It was
now
the
that
Chrome
I think
plugin.
About it, which was awesome.
No longer exists. AFR, if you're listening, we now do subscribe.
Yeah. we do. But it was so much, I agree, Ren. It was so much, there was a lot of kind of noise at the time and in our heads of what it would take to be an investor. And I think being able to have blocked that out earlier and understood that you don't need all of that stuff, you don't need to understand all the ratios, you don't need to feel like you have that strategy in place, would have helped a lot.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been like downloading PDFs of company reports and like trying to read through them and make heads or tails of them. What are we doing now?
I don't know. Not that, that's for sure.
And, you know, like we celebrate an investor like Buffett who reads 500 pages a day. And I think we should celebrate the real investors, so the next generation of 21-year-old Bryces and Wrens aren't wasting their unis trying to read annual reports.
No, they're doing 500 TikToks a day.
True. You know, the investors that take a percentage of their salary and dollar cost average in or add 4% to their super above what their employer pays and then gets on with their day. Like that's just as much investing as Warren Buffett is. And so I think it's an important learning that like investing is a skill, like driving is a skill, and it can fit into your life however you want it to, but it's just an important skill to have.
Crucial life skill, I would say.
Just as important as driving. And just as people get ridiculed.
Debatable.
Which is more important?
Investing.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I don't think you're going to need to know how to drive in the future.
Okay. I mean, sure.
Driving, all right, we'll say, if you had to choose one or the other, I think driving's not going to set you up for life.
I feel like this is the stuff we clip and then we put on social media.
Yeah.
Put it on TikTok and then see what people say.
Driving or investing, which is more important.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to look, let's compromise and say it is at least as important. Maybe in the future it will be more important.
Investing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure, let's sure, we'll meet in the middle.
But yeah, look, I think looking back, we could have really saved ourselves some time and some angst, some noise and some mistakes.
Yeah.
If we had just understood what you needed to know and then what was us trying to pretend to be something that we weren't.
Yeah, and I think all three of them, you don't have to pick a side. A lot of noise in picking sides. The difference between right and wrong isn't the difference between making and losing money. And to invest, you don't have to be an investor. The industry for a long time has constantly thrown a lot of jargon and noise and stuff out there. One could, I guess, cynically say to confuse the mums and dads and the Wrens and Bryces so that we would give our money to professionals. And
some could say.
That's not what we're saying. Some could say that. And there's nothing wrong with giving money to the professionals. In fact,
there's a lot right with giving money to professionals, but there's even more right with having the investing skills to ask the hard questions and to know what the professionals are doing.
Exactly.
Because we've heard some horror stories. If it's right for you, you should see a professional, but you should go in armed with the knowledge that 21-year-old Bryson Wren did not have.
That's it. So I hope we've been able to, I guess, clarify a couple of misunderstandings or points that we felt sort of confused us or made us more nervous and overwhelmed than we should have
been. The thing was, though, at the time, we weren't really nervous.
True.
And we didn't think we were overwhelmed. We just didn't realize what we didn't know.
True. It could have been smoother sailing. I would have lost less money.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I would have lost so much less money.
But there's also nothing wrong with losing money. You're going to lose money.
Better to lose money then, I think, because we would have probably pissed that money away some other way.
True. Let's not talk about how. But anyway, if you have some key takeaways or lessons that you've learnt, we'd love to hear them. Send it in to our email, contact@equitymates.com. And as we said at the top of the show, there's plenty of content at Equity Mates Media. The Dive Daily is our 3 times a week business news show. You're in good company, CVE, Comedian V Economist, Talk Money to Me, Get Started Investing is this one, of course, Equity Mates Investing Podcast and Meet Pay Love. Go and check them out. Crypto Curious as well. So plenty going on. Hit us up, equitymates.com as well. You can catch all the transcripts, videos of all the episodes that we do. But Wren, great to chat and we can pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
Get Started Investing is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Get Started Investing are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website where you can find the ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Get Started Investing acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.